And now, Father, as we look at the words of Jesus, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will apply them with power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking together this morning briefly at the second beatitude, and it's found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, where Jesus teaches, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. As you probably know, if you're looking at Matthew 5, there are 8 beatitudes. The dawning of truth, character of Jesus, therefore, should be the character of true disciples. We looked at poor in spirit a few weeks ago. Today we're looking at mourning. It speaks about meekness, hunger and thirsting for righteousness, so on and so forth. So this morning, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Greek word for mourn is pentheo, which is to grieve, the feeling or the act, to mourn, to bewail. And Jesus is talking here in Matthew chapter 5 about a healthy and a righteous mourning. A healthy and a righteous mourning. We'll come back on to that in just a moment. But there is such a thing as an unhealthy mourning or grief, which, if allowed to fester, can become a root of bitterness. And it can lead us to sin and its destructive forces in our lives. And we do not want to give the devil a foothold, do we? So pray the Lord will help and sift out his word for us this morning. So there's bad or unrighteous or unhealthy grieving. When we get annoyed, perhaps, when we don't get our own way. It's the selfish brat syndrome, the me first syndrome. Why doesn't everybody listen to me? Why don't they do what I want and then everything will be all right? The grumpy old men shouting at the news on the telly, as if. We get grumpy and mad when people don't agree with us, when we're inconvenienced. It's very interesting when watch television and see the sport. And we see on one side of the stadium after a match, be it football, rugby or something else, where they're kicking a bladder of wind around the lawn. You'll see one side and they're elated when their team has won. And then the cameras will pan to the other side and there's people weeping and wailing, holding their head in their hands. Get a life. What is important? We had some friends round the other Saturday and they've been watching Strictly. And after the judges had made the decision, our friends came in with Carolyn into the kitchen. We had a bit of supper and they were saying, well, she's a professional dancer. Why do they expect, you know, and there's this other bloke who's not doing so well. And, well, he's not a professional actor. I said, ladies, you seem to forget something. It is of no consequence. It doesn't matter. So that went down really well. So there's an unrighteous mourning when we can harbour resentment or bitterness. And I know this from personal experience in the past, when the Holy Spirit is convicting me and I'm not acting upon what he's saying, and it can lead to some destructive thinking and depression and all sorts of things. I'm not saying that's the only reason for depression, but I'm saying in my case, I was in a bad place and they're all getting at me, and why don't you do something, Lord? Well, quite a few of the Psalms are like that. But there's an unhealthy resentment, an unrighteous grief, and we have to be very careful. Now, we mustn't wallow in self-pity, because that can lead to sin. When Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted," he was talking about a godly mourning, a grief or sorrow, something righteous, which are in line with his righteous and the natural healthy order. It is right, friends, to grieve the loss of a loved one. That's a healthy thing to do. Jesus was speaking here, though, about something deeper in context of what's going on here. Bereavement is a part of life, and God can help us through the different stages if we continue to look to him and trust him and stand together. And we'll come on to this wonderful verse where it says, part of the verse, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." So hold on to that. We're coming on to that in just a moment. So there's a righteous mourning, passing of a loved one, the effects of sin in our lives and in other people's lives. If we've never truly mourned our sin and the effects it's had on the honour and glory of God, then we don't know the power of the resurrection. We should mourn the thought of people dying without Christ. We should mourn the persecution of our brothers and sisters. We should mourn where there is apathy and backsliding. We should mourn when there is sexual immorality in the church. We should mourn where churches are splitting. We should mourn where there's a lack of unity, where man is honoured more than Christ. We should be mourning over that. We should be mourning over the grieving of the Holy Spirit, the lack of hunger for God's words in the church, when his word is twisted or manipulated to make a point, where it's diminished in its relevance. We should mourn that, shouldn't we? Where the truth of God is compromised. And so too in our society, we should mourn where their unrighteous laws are being passed, where there's unjust systems, where there's exploitation, where there's racism, where God's name is not honoured, where there are addictions, whether it be alcohol or gambling or pornography. We should grieve and mourn for those things. When people are sick, where people are caught in different forms of idolatry, I could go on. It's right to have a godly sorrow and mourning about these things. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are people who know when things are not right and they mourn before God and their spirits are grieved. We live in a fallen and messed up world, don't we? We feel like we're on enemy territory. More and more I feel like I'm an alien in a foreign land. We know from God's word, Romans 8:22, we know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we see examples of the mourning heart of Jesus in various parts of the New Testament, don't we? There's Matthew 23:37, where Jesus is mourning over the spiritual hard-heartedness and the sin of the people of Jerusalem over the centuries when he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." Jesus is mourning over them, and he's still mourning over the spiritually lost, for things to be brought under his sovereign lordship, as they will one day, so that people can know his power, his freedom, and true life. If we genuinely mourn over these things, for God's righteousness, for his release, for his power, for his deliverance, for the church, especially in this nation, to rise up, for the salvation of loved ones and for healings, if we truly mourn for those, then there's some good news for us this morning. We're getting there. Bear with me. Now, this might seem a slightly weird reading, but we're going to turn to it anyway. James chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 7 to 10, so bear with me. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what? He will lift you up. Amen. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Here's a verse the Holy Spirit wants me to mention to you. Psalm 30 and verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So I want to suggest something. Blessed are those who mourn, M-O-U-R-N, but the Lord comforts us and turns it into mourning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, hallelujah. The sun rises with healing in his wings. That's the sun I know anyway. Boy, do we need that, don't we? Fantastic. It is your time of mourning, M-O-R-I-N-G, this morning. Amen. Does that resonate with some of your spirits this morning? I think it does on a few faces. That's exciting, isn't it? Hallelujah. I'm not preaching to dead chairs. Hallelujah. That is very exciting. So I want to say to you this morning, let your joy arise in the heart, in your hearts, God's children. Let your joy arise. It's not dependent on the circumstances, but on him. Listen to God's word spoken by Jesus in the past, and he speaks it over us again today, this morning. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you've been mourning, if you've been broken-hearted, if you've been a captive, if you've been a prisoner, if you've been in darkness, this is your time, this is the moment, and this is your God. And he wants to speak into your hearts and lives this morning, and he wants to for you to know the day of the Lord's favour and to rise up. It's a new season. This is your time, this is your moment, this is your God. It's time to ditch the ashes, which is what God's word says, ditch the ashes and put the crown on, because it's there for you. It's time to exchange mourning for the oil of joy. Hooray, we need some joy, don't we? The joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? It's time to throw off the rags of mourning, M-O-U-R-N, put on the garment of praise. It's so powerful to praise even when you don't feel like it. And here is what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. It's a new day. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. We stand on that truth this morning. You're blessed and you will be comforted. So that's the second part, very briefly. Comfort. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that word in the Greek is parakaleo, very close to parakletos, the comforter. They're connected, interconnected, and we saw that reading. We had that reading earlier, didn't we? That wonderful promise in Revelation 7. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It was my privilege last Sunday to be at Ivy Bridge, and I was ministering the communion, and a dear sister came forward and said, "Can you give communion to a lady in the concourse who's got a very poorly baby, tiny little dot?" And so we went out and we gave a communion, and we prayed over this dear mother and her poorly baby. And as I was praying for this dear mother, the tears were there, because she wanted her little baby boy to be whole. And I just thought how beautiful that is. But he will wipe away every tear. And the Lord gave a bit of healing for that mother. They're able to sleep and lay the baby down because there's some serious medical condition. So please pray for little Reuben, that God will make him whole. He will wipe away every tear. The Comforter is here this morning. Jesus says, "When the Comforter, the Parakletos, is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he shall testify about me." The Holy Spirit is the Comforter here this morning. And we'll turn back to that reading we started with in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you turn with me, if you've got a Bible, if not, you can just listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Isn't that wonderful? "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Isn't that wonderful? He has done so much for us. He comforts us. He strengthens us. It's not just for a bless me party. We've got this wonderful comfort, and then we can comfort others. We can pass that comfort on that we ourselves have received. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." And God wants to give you comfort and strength and help this morning. "Blessed are those who mourn," and then the promise. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." I speak that over each one of us this morning. Let's pray. We're going to then share. We're going to miss the next hymn out, by the way. We're going to pray, and then we're going to share communion as we